Where are you going? Dinner. Are there good news?
It is time again for Donald
Trump.
Theater.
No one knows what's up or down.
Black
or white.
Legal
or
impeachable.
Everything is make believe in Donald
Trump.
Theater.
So let's
pull
the
curtain
back.
We are controlling transmission. If we wish to make it louder, we will bring up the volume. We can change the focus to a soft blur.
You're moving into a land of both shadow and substance, of things and ideas. You've just crossed over into.
Logic is an enemy and truth is a menace.
Truth isn't truth.
I hear it's fake news, but maybe it is, maybe it isn't.
I think it's fake news, okay? Now, would I do that? Absolutely.
We're doing a lot of things that are very good, including waste and fraud. Tremendous waste and tremendous fraud.
Well, when the president does it, that means that it is not illegal.
I could cause panic much better than even you. I could do much. I would make you look like a minor league player.
Forget about bass on the ram, ram, and rock and roll.
I'd like to call to order this secret conclave of America's media empires. We're here to come up with the next phony baloney crisis to put Americans back where they belong, in dark rooms glued to their televisions too terrified to skip the commercials.
Well, I think...
NBC, you are here to listen and not speak. I think we should go with a good old-fashioned public health scare.
A new disease. No one's immune. It's like the summer of the shark, except instead of a shark, it's an epidemic. And instead of summer, it's all the time.
Now, I hate to be the guy who derails what everybody else loves. This can't be a made-up disease. The only moral thing to do is release a deadly virus into the general public.
We do have something we've been holding on to, but it hasn't been tested. Get over here, NBC.
Well, we certainly believe in testing, but I... Wow.
So, we've got our deadly disease. Now, we just have to blame it on something.
Now, the Democrats are politicizing the coronavirus. You know that, right? Coronavirus. They're politicizing it. We did one of the great jobs, you say, how's President Trump doing? They go, oh, not good, not good. They have no clue. They don't have any clue. They can't even count their votes in Iowa. They can't even count. And this is their new hoax. But, you know, we did something that's been pretty amazing. We're 15 people in this massive country.
Springfielders are advised to stay tuned for more information if they experience any of the following symptoms. Mild thirst, occasional hunger, tiredness at night.
The coronavirus. You know that, right? Coronavirus. We think we have it very well under control. We have very little problem in this country at this moment.
Well, we pretty much shut it down. Coming in from China. We're going to see what happens, but we did shut it down, yes.
You know, a lot of people think that goes away in April with the heat, as the heat comes in. We're in great shape, though.
You know, in April, supposedly, it dies with the hotter weather.
Looks like by April, you know, in theory, when it gets a little warmer, it miraculously goes away. I hope that's true.
And I think the numbers are going to get progressively better as we go along.
We have it very much under control in this country.
Because of all we've done, the risk to the American people remains very low.
It's going to disappear. One day it's like a miracle. It will disappear. You know, it could get worse before it gets better. It could maybe go away. We'll see what happens. Nobody really knows.
Now the Democrats are politicizing the coronavirus. You know that, right? Coronavirus. And this is their new hoax.
The hoax is on them. I'm not talking about what's happening here. Certainly not referring to this. How could anybody refer to this? This is very serious stuff.
Anybody that needs a test can have a test. They're all set.
Are you concerned that the virus is getting close to the White House?
No, I'm not concerned at all. No, I'm not.
It will go away. Just stay calm. It will go away. To keep new cases from entering our shores, we will be suspending all travel from Europe to the United States for the next 30 days. This is the most aggressive and comprehensive effort to confront a foreign virus in modern history.
We're in great shape compared to other places. We are in really good shape.
Yeah, no, I don't take responsibility at all. It's all over the world. It's incredible what's happened in such a short period of time. But I've always known this is a pandemic.
For months, the president downplayed the impending devastating impact of the coronavirus, and now he is changing his tone.
We had a lot of people were saying, maybe we shouldn't do anything. Just ride it. They say, ride it like a cowboy. Just ride it. Ride that sucker right through. That's where the 2.2 million people come in. Would have died, maybe. But it would have been 1.6 to 2.2. And that's not acceptable.
Ride it like a cowboy is yet another term I didn't think I would ever have to say on TV during my career. But here's the problem. There is no scientific or medical expert who told the president, as far as we know, to ride it like a cowboy. In fact, the president himself continuously brushed off the threat of coronavirus.
And we have it under control. It's going to be just fine.
How concerned are you?
Well, we pretty much shut it down. Coming in from China.
We're finding very little problem, very little problem. Now, you treat this like a flu. When you have 15 people, and the 15 within a couple of days is going to be down to close to zero.
It's going to disappear. One day it's like a miracle. It will disappear.
Some people will have this at a very light level and won't even go to a doctor or a hospital. They'll get better.
There are many people like that.
The president also suggested that impeachment may have distracted him from paying as much attention to this as he would have liked. The impeachment was concluded on February the 5th. It was long after that, well into March, probably March 12th, before the president started taking this seriously.
In stage one, we say nothing is going to happen.
Stage two, we say something may be going to happen, but we should do nothing about it.
In stage three, we say that maybe we should do something about it, but there's nothing we can do.
Stage four, we say maybe there was something we could have done, but it's too late now.
What do you say to Americans who are upset with you over the way you downplayed this crisis over the last couple of months? We have it very much under control in this country. We're doing a great job with it. It will go away.
It will go away, and we're going to have a great victory. And it's people like you and CNN that say things like that, that it's why people just don't want to listen to CNN anymore. You could ask a normal question. The statements I made are, I want to keep the country calm. I don't want panic in the country. I could cause panic much better than even you. I could do much. I would make you look like a minor league player.
That's great. That was our president boasting about his ability to terrify us. Don't worry. We know you're really good at that. Okay. You don't have to brag. This kind of tells you all you need to know about how things are going at the White House. Trump showed off the new COVID-19 testing machine, and he had it upside down. This is the 61 Divoc. I mean, COVID-19. It's also the way he's going to present his economic charts from here on. Look at this, straight up.
The president charting his own course, saying as recently as yesterday that, as we've reported, all this should be done by Easter.
We're thinking that around Easter, that's going to be your spike. That's going to be the highest point, we think. And then it's going to start coming down from there. That will be a day of celebration.
250 years ago, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, whose full name, you know, he was Jewish, so his full name might have been like Christowitz. But God rose him from the dead on a holiday we now call Easter. Not a lot of people know that, but it's called Easter. It's when Jesus and the two Corinthians met the Easter Bunny and came back from the dead. It's a beautiful story. Very important for the Christians like me. And I have decided, I'm announcing today, we are going to bring back the economy on Easter Sunday, because God, who, to be honest, is, you know, he's a good God. He's done some strong things. Let's be honest, his record is like not so great, though. He brought one guy back on Easter Sunday, and it was his son, so it was kind of like biased. But we're going to bring back the entire economy on Easter Sunday. And at that point, I think basically I'm better than God. So when we do it, we're going to do it toughly. We're going to do it with great compassion, great strength, tremendous strength, and also toughness. Easter Sunday, we're going to put it on pay-per-view. God versus Trump. Who brings back more people on Easter Sunday? We're doing it. I'm going to fire Fauci probably on Good Friday, and they call it Great Friday for Trump. And that's it. So let's do it. Let's get perfect health. Let's get back to work. Jesus Christ, not as good as Trump.
Attention, everyone. Let's all give thanks to the leader for this glorious day.
The leader is good. The leader is great. We surrender our will as of the state.
The leader is good. The leader is great. We surrender our will as of the state.
Mike Pence, I don't think he sleeps anymore. These are people that should be appreciated. He calls all the governors. I tell him, I mean, I'm a different type of person. I say, Mike, don't call the governor of Washington. You're wasting your time with him.
Here in Washington State tonight, 175 people have now died. 3,700 more are sick.
Governor Jay Inslee says he can only guess at how many more people will get the coronavirus.
The state is now writing up plans for the worst case scenario.
Don't call the woman in Michigan.
Governor Gretchen Whitmer officially calling on President Trump for a major disaster declaration in Michigan.
Michigan is now at more than 2,800.
With the spike of cases in Metro Detroit, hospitals are pleading for help.
Is what happens.
The governor of Washington.
No, you know what I say? If they don't treat you right, I don't call.
There has been reporting indicating concerns that the apportionment of these federal backstop supplies, whether from the strategic stockpile or not, are hinging on political considerations, maybe personal considerations about whether the president likes a governor or not. There's indications that states like Oklahoma, Kentucky, and Florida have gotten all their requests, while states like yours and Michigan and others have not. Are you concerned that the people in your state who are sick and maybe on the threshold of possibly dying or surviving are being punished for the politics you or the state have?
I hope not.
That seems kind of a weird way to do it, though, doesn't it? I mean, you competing with Governor Newsom of California, competing with Governor Cuomo of New York. I mean, that doesn't seem a very efficient way to, and not to mention a thrifty way to get these supplies to the states as soon as possible.
That's correct. We're all competing against each other. This should have been a coordinated effort by the federal government and the National Defense Authorization that the president has to, you know, to essentially push this manufacturing really hasn't gone into effect in any way. And so, yes, we're competing against each other. We're competing against other countries. You know, it's a wide wild west, I would say, out there. And indeed, we're overpaying, I would say, for PPE because of that competition.
President Trump's in a battle with some governors accusing states of hoarding supplies.
There's a question as to hoarding of ventilators. Some hospitals and independent hospitals and some hospital chains, as we call them, they are holding ventilators. They don't want to let them up.
Hospitals. They're caring. They're comforting. They're hoarding. Did you know that hospitals hoard the majority of the world's stethoscope supply? And they always want more. Is that why their symbol is a plus sign? Even before their current ventilator obsession, hospitals have been accumulating enormous amounts of cotton balls, tongue depressors, even our urine. Just what do they need all that urine for? And don't bother trying to find a newborn baby. They're all in hospitals. Hospitals. If they're so great, then why is everyone there sick?
This is inspiring, too. If ever there was a living testament to believing in yourself, it is this president who somehow, even in the middle of a devastating public health crisis, still manages to find time to pay tribute to himself.
We have done an incredible job. We are doing a great job. I think for the most part, they were saying thank you for doing a great job. We're doing an awfully good job. Myself and the administration are doing a good job. Great job.
I'm doing a good job.
We're doing a great job.
We're doing a great job.
I think we're doing a really good job. I think we're doing a really good job. People like the job that we're doing. We're doing a good job. I think we're doing a great job on as good a job as you could possibly do.
If only his dad had said that once to him, maybe things would be different. Speaking of great jobs, today was the first day of work for Donald Trump's new chief of staff, Mark Meadows, which, can you think of any worse first day of work than in the Trump administration in the middle of a pandemic? I would rather be the assistant manager at Popeyes the day those chicken sandwiches came out. Mark Meadows was a congressman from North Carolina. He's one of Trump's most enthusiastic suck-ups. In fact, the only reason he agreed to take the job as chief of staff is because he found out First Lady was taken already. Meadows will be Trump's fourth chief of staff in 3 years, and we all know what the president thinks about instability like that. Three chief of staffs in less than 3 years of being president, part of the reason why Barack Obama can't manage to pass his agenda. But that was 2012. It was different.
Cases are now growing by tens of thousands nationwide every day. And even the sunniest voices in the administration that repeatedly played down the thread and looked into the camera to tell Americans that the risk was low, people like Vice President Mike Pence, they are now saying that we in the U.S. are on track similar to the hardest hit countries. Here's the Vice President, quote, "We think Italy may be most comparable areas to the United States at this point. Italy, where despite a national lockdown, hospitals are overwhelmed. Doctors, many of whom do not have sufficient medical equipment, are being forced to make decisions about who gets a chance to survive and who does not. It did not have to be like this. We did not have to have the worst outbreak in the world. The failure of this administration and this president to take the virus seriously is part of what got us to this point. State and local governments continue to do what they can in this fight because there continues to be not just an absence of federal leadership, but active, destructive incompetence. For example, The president has largely refused to invoke the Defense Production Act, which allows him to force businesses to manufacture items in an emergency. He refuses to do so or to standardize this manufacturing and take it over, despite large-scale shortages of life-saving ventilators and personal protective equipment. Well, it turns out the Defense Production Act isn't some break glass in case of emergency kind of thing that they haven't dealt with. It has been invoked hundreds of thousands of times in the Trump years. But with the pandemic, the president treats it as a break-the-glass last resort. And without a standardization of manufacturing, right now, I cannot stress this enough because I've been talking to people about this day and night the last few days. The market, there is a market right now to acquire ventilators and other equipment like masks and personal protective equipment that is totally and completely haywire. You have states being forced into bidding wars to get medical equipment and even having to bid against, oh, look, the federal government, which could have just taken control of the entire process from the start to coordinate this and avoid this insane situation. But they have not. And then there's this. The Pentagon, get this, the Pentagon has not yet delivered any of the 2,000 ventilators. 2,000 ventilators it offered to the Department of Health and Human Services 2 weeks ago. Because HHS has asked it to wait while the agency determines where the devices should go. Hospitals are desperate for ventilators. New York City mayor said we need 400 more in New York City in the next few days. People need them to live, and they are just sitting there. And even when the federal government does do something, when they do send ventilators, thousands of ventilators in the national stockpile do not work, according to a New York Times report. The reason? Listen to this. The reason. The contract to maintain the governor's stockpile lapsed late last summer, and a contracting dispute meant that a new firm did not begin its work until late July, when it was essentially too late. In perhaps the best illustration of this incompetence, Politico reported that last week, a Trump official was speaking to counterparts in Thailand in an effort to get protective gear, right? We need protective gear. They're trying to get protective gear from Thailand. Quote, the official asked the Thais for help, only to be informed by the puzzled voices on the other side of the line that a U.S. shipment of the same supplies, the second of two so far, was already on its way to Bangkok. We were sending them the things that we were asking for. Now, the administration has now frozen such aid, but exports by U.S. companies apparently continue. Listen to this. Roughly 280 million masks, 280 million masks in U.S. warehouses were reportedly purchased by foreign buyers on Monday alone. And throughout this whole process, the president appears to be distributing that federal aid with an eye on his reelection prospects and not on need. Florida, where Republican Governor Ron DeSantis, a Trump ally, has finally issued a stay-at-home order after keeping the beaches open for spring break, has been getting all the emergency supplies the state requested, unlike other states. The Washington Post quoted a White House official who offered this explanation for why Trump is so attuned to Florida's wants. This is an official in the White House, okay? Quote, the president knows Florida is so important for his reelection.
We are the worst outbreak on earth. We've got not only more cases than any other country on earth now by far, but look at the trajectory of that curve. That's our death rate right now. And it is still headed almost straight up without any relief in sight. We are not getting this thing under control. And still, there are no national measures in place to try to slow the spread of it. I mean, in Italy, you can say what they're doing as a country. In Spain, you can say what they're doing as a country. In France, you can say what they're doing as a country. We're not doing anything as a country. The president was asked tonight why he didn't propose a national stay-at-home order. And he sort of riffed on the question and fiddled around with the question and ultimately landed on basically saying, well, in somewhere like Alaska, you wouldn't need it. That was the president's answer tonight for why there shouldn't be a national stay-at-home order. Take Alaska. You wouldn't need one there. You know what? They've already got over 130 cases in Alaska. And there is already a stay-at-home order in that state, although the president apparently has no idea about that.
The White House Coronavirus Task Force will continue to take the posture that we will defer to state and local health authorities on any measures that they deem appropriate.
You do what you want. Well, can we defer? Florida isn't doing a stay-at-home order because we haven't told the governor to do one. Well, we're not really in the business of that kind of thing. So, you know, we defer whatever he's deferring to us. Well, we defer right back. So whatever, 20 million residents of Florida. It took an appearance on the Today Show this morning for the Surgeon General of the United States to, I think, perhaps inadvertently meander himself around to the idea that, yes, maybe there should be some federal direction on this key issue. Maybe.
there are guidelines that say that, look, the more we social distance, the more we stay at home, the less spread of disease there will be. My advice to America would be that these guidelines are a national stay-at-home order.
My advice to America would be that these guidelines are a national stay-at-home order? Wait, freeze frame there for a second. There's a national stay-at-home order now? Or it's just your advice? Or you're hoping that there would be one? You're calling for one? Or did you just issue one? We're the citizens of the nation with the worst coronavirus outbreak on Earth, where our death toll and our case numbers are skyrocketing out of control. As far as we know, there's no national policy in this country to try to slow that down.
Anarchy is loosed upon the world. The blood-dimmed tide is loosed. And everywhere, the ceremony of innocence is drowned. Donald Trump conducts a ceremony of innocence every day at the White House briefing, in which he has denied any responsibility for the failures of his administration's response to a pandemic that they knew was coming since the first week of January.
No, I don't take responsibility at all, because we were given a set of circumstances, and we were given rules, regulations, and specifications from a different time.
In his daily ceremony of innocence, Donald Trump pretends that he never said that the coronavirus was not going to be a very deadly pandemic in the United States. He pretends he never said this.
When you have 15 people, and the 15 within a couple of days is going to be down to close to zero, that's a pretty good job we've done.
The Boston Globe has been recording every word Donald Trump has said about the coronavirus and everything Donald Trump has done and not done about the coronavirus. And the Globe's editorial board reached this conclusion. The months the administration wasted with prevarication about the threat and its subsequent missteps will amount to exponentially more COVID-19 cases than were necessary. In other words, the president has blood on his hands.
The preceding show was recorded at Wave Farms WGXC in the Hudson Valley in New York State.